What a wonderful reminder for every one of us today. If we're in the reality of God's salvation, it is well with my soul. We live in a world of total uncertainty. And yet we have this one certain fact. We know it is well with our soul. Everything else is temporary, it's transient, it's passing. But that which is fixed and eternal, we know it is well. And that's an amazing assurance. I would just like to divide the time this morning between some time of encouragement and then just taking you through some things of what God is doing in Zambia. And just in terms of encouragement, a brief study, you can further it in your own minds. I'm going to take a verse from Mark chapter 7, the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, where Christ as the servant is always so busy in his ministry, and it's almost as if the whole of the Gospel of Mark doesn't have a full stop. It's just one event just flowing after another as Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's at the end of a discussion, and I won't take time to go into that. Chapter 7, verse number 24, and it's the last statement of this verse that I'd like to follow with you briefly. The verse records, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. I just want to focus our thoughts this morning upon those last words. He could not be hidden. And I trust as we think through this morning, we will enter into the reality of this fact, no matter what the world throws at us, and no matter how the world tries to treat Jesus Christ today, this will stand out above everything else. He cannot be hidden. And Satan's battle that he's brought right from the start is to try and remove or to cover the honor, the glory that Christ deserves, and above that, the greatness of his person. And we live in a world where we see the reality of that today. Our whole world is doing its best to hide Christ, to defame Christ, to humiliate Christ. But the scripture tells us in this verse, but he could not be hidden. And that is a true reality for today. It doesn't matter how dark the night is. It will never extinguish the light. And that's John 1, isn't it? He was in the world. Here he is. But the darkness can never overcome the light. Just come with me very quickly in your minds. I'm going to go through a few different scenarios just to draw out this reality. He could not be hidden, and in the future he will not be hidden. Perhaps one of the darkest points of the history of this universe we find in Genesis chapter 3. And we find this beautiful creation of God designed specifically for Adam and Eve in the garden. They have everything. They have a beautiful environment. And sin enters. And it brings its ugly rain to the whole of humanity. And you may say, where was God in that situation? Has Satan triumphed to hide completely the greatness of Christ? No. He cannot be hidden. Because before this universe was created, 1 Peter 1, read verse 18 to 20. It finishes by saying, in terms of our redemption, he was the Lamb who was chosen from before the foundation of this world. So the very purpose for the creation of this universe is to reveal Him for who He is, not only in His power and ability as a creator, but above and beyond that, in His love and grace as a redeemer and as a savior. And I'm just going to take you in mind, because I don't have time to flip through the scriptures this morning. You will read in Genesis 3 that wonderful first prophecy of Christ and the cross. God speaks to the serpent. I'm going to put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. The very first reference. He will be the seed of the woman. Satan, you have abused a woman here in the Garden of Eden, and through it you have brought sin into this world. I am going to take another woman, and I'm going to use her in divine power so that she will give birth to the Redeemer. And he, the seed of the woman, cannot be hidden. He will crush your head. Isn't that wonderful? Where was God in the garden? He was right there giving the promise, the very first prophecy of Scripture. And he's speaking not now just of the Garden of Eden. Think of this in your own time. He's now panning forward in the future ages of this world to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he won't be brought into the perfect environment of this universe. He will step into a broken, horrible world. Everything was designed for Adam. Christ will come in total humility to be put at naught, to be nothing. But there he will triumph and say, not my will, but yours be done. He cannot be hidden right at the start when sin comes into this world. I cannot take you through the whole of Old Testament scripture, but in your minds, just come briefly to John chapter 5. I should refer you to some scripture rather than just quoting. The whole of the Old Testament scripture is a wonderful preview, introduction, prophecy, looking forward to the one who cannot be hidden, because he is the very word of God. He is the full expression of God. He is the source of everything. He is the one who begins and completes everything. And in this interesting discussion where Christ is doing his best to prove to these religious leaders, with time and time again, with different points and reasoning, he comes to this in verse 39. He says in John 5:39, search for yourself the scriptures. You think that in them you have eternal life, but you fail to realize these scriptures speak of me. They witness of me. They portray me. But you will not come to me so that you will have life. Throughout the whole of Scripture, he could not be hidden. You and I may open the Old Testament and think this is just an account of history. We may think this is just how God used the nation of Israel. We may just think this is a whole list of different offerings and sacrifices, prophecies, etc. No, these are the foretellings of Christ. And he said that to the disciples after his resurrection. He took them right through from Moses and the prophets and told them of the things concerning himself. May God encourage us when we open the scriptures. Who are we looking for? We should be looking for Christ. Right there from Genesis to Revelation. He cannot be hidden. The whole of scripture speaks about him. Let's fast forward to the very birth of Christ. He appears to be born in total insignificance. Here he is, a baby wrapped in clothes, laid in a manger. Could he be hidden? Certainly not. The angels come to tell the shepherds, look, the Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. You go and find him. God took the wise men from the east and brought them searching for the one who was born king. You see, he could not be hidden. He may have been born in obscurity. He may have been brought up in Nazareth. He could not be hidden. Because this is the very Christ of glory, the creator of the universe. And it's all been put in place for him. He could not be hidden. Yes, people said of him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Praise God for the response. Read John for yourself, chapter 1. I'm not going to give you the answer. He could not be hidden. And he says, you believe me just because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see something far greater than that. Because Christ could not be hidden. We thought of Adam very briefly in a short period of time. We don't know the details. He fell in the first temptation. Christ, for 30 years in that sinful area of Nazareth, and the voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved son. He's the Lord from heaven. He is unique and different. I'm well pleased in him. He cannot be hidden. I cannot take you through the miracles, go through them. Can I just come to the very crux of the whole of this universe, the hours of darkness at the cross? And suddenly the whole of this world is bathed in darkness as Christ becomes sin for you and me in those three awful hours. Put it together, he's the light of the world. And here he is descending into the awful darkness of separation from God for you and me as he becomes sin. But praise God, in that worst point of time in the history of this universe, at the end of those 3 hours, he cries, it is finished. And suddenly the light shines across the universe again. Not now just a physical light, but a spiritual light that offers transformation for every person born under Adam's sinful nature, because now he is available as not only the one who is just, but also the justifier of all who believe in him. And the light shines. He could not be hidden. You've probably gone already to the grave. We were there this morning in Matthew 28. And loving hands take him down from the cross and place him in the tomb. And then the Roman powers come and they roll the large stone and they seal it. That's the end. No one can defy it. Can defy the Roman power. He could not be hidden. On the resurrection morning, just one angel descends, causes the earthquake, rolls away the stone and sits upon it, and those Roman soldiers in all their so-called power are like dead men before him. Could he be hidden? He could never be hidden. The grave is empty. It's almost divine humor, isn't it? Why are you guarding an empty tomb? He's not here. He is risen. And before we came to Christ, we spent our lives thinking this was so important, but it's wasteful and empty. It was in vain. There's nothing there. The pleasures of this world will never, ever satisfy. It's an empty tomb. And Christ is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. He could not be hidden. Death had no hold over him. Praise God, he is my Savior and Redeemer, and he tore the bars away. Up from the grave he arose. He says, I am the living one who became dead, but I am alive forevermore. He could not be hidden. Can I quickly fast forward into the future? Because this world is going to come under a horrible, evil control for 7 years that we call the scriptures call the time of tribulation. And in that darkest of all hours, when God, for some apparently unknown reason, allows Satan to take up the reins of government in this world and totally rule under his power and ability, will Christ be hidden? No. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And he will raise up 144,000 people to speak of his fame and his greatness during that time. And at the end of that time, Revelation 17, the 10 kingdom confederacy under Satan's rule will all amass themselves to fight against the Lamb. But he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and he will destroy them. Even in the darkest of times yet to come, he will not be hidden. Oh, dear friends, today, let's be encouraged in our lives. We're not fighting alone. This isn't your battle or mine. This is his. He cannot be hidden. And I can guarantee, if you have come to Christ in his saving power, your life has been transformed, then this will be true in your life and mine. He cannot be hidden. The world may do their best to cover him, to deny him, to take away from him what he deserves. But he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He cannot be hidden. I'm going to finish just very quickly in this devotion, although you can think it through in detail, by taking you to Philippians chapter 1. You see, the Roman powers again have done their best to try and cover the messenger of Christ, to remove him from service so that Christ's name will be hidden, and they've placed him in a Roman prison. Now you see, they may be able to stop the messenger, but they cannot stop the message. And if you want encouragement, read through that chapter. Paul is rejoicing that the gospel is being preached. Christ cannot be hidden. And in the midst of that section, verse number 20, he says this: in regards to my earnest hope and expectation, that in nothing I will be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now Christ will be exalted, will be uplifted, will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He says he cannot be hidden. God may choose for me the pathway of life or the pathway of death, but one thing is sure, he will not be hidden. Why? He says, verse number 21, for to me, living is Christ. He says, there is that time in my life when I was crucified with Christ at the cross, Galatians 2:20. All that I was before vanished at the cross. It was put to death. It was never seen again. But he says, I'm still living. But he says, it's not me. It's Christ who's living in me. So when Christ is alive in a person, he cannot be hidden. And it's not your effort and mine. And that's the wonderful freeing fact of Christianity. It's not about you or me for who we are or what we can do. It's all about him for who he is and what he can do. And if I can encourage someone this morning with that old chorus, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he's still the same. He will do for you. It may be in a tough situation where you're selling your business to look after your mother. God bless you, my brother. Or it may be through sickness and disease. He cannot be hidden. He has his way. And he has his purpose. If we will simply follow the example of the Apostle Paul, I have made this my whole reason for living. Christ shall be magnified, shall be exalted in this human body of mine, whether by life or by death. Because for me, the whole purpose of life is Christ. That's high ground. And I appreciate most of us haven't even begun to climb that hill. But may God give us the grace to start so that he will not be hidden. I should stop there. Let me switch tracks to take you to Zambia. Because really, that is God's story. It's not mine. He cannot be hidden. And I trust as we go just very quickly together through this time that you will see that he cannot be hidden. He is at work in this universe of time in a way far above and beyond anything we can understand. Let me just make sure I've switched on here. It does appear to be switched on already, or do I just flip it down? Oh, sorry, thank you. Technology is wonderful. So let me take you very quickly to Zambia in case you're not aware. It's in central southern Africa, surrounded by about 7 different countries, so we don't get to the ocean. It's wonderful being in New Jersey, right at Belmar, 10 minutes down the road. It's wonderful. So where are we based? I think you can see right at the top there's a wonderful pointer here. I can almost get it probably. Just at the top of the white arrow is where we are, about 13 hours drive from Lusaka. Very quickly, some typical sites. If you love kids, you will love Africa. They're everywhere, and they're all over you if you allow them to be there. All the way through to many elderly people in need is a nation where it's tough to be an old person. There's no social security, there's no old people's home, etc. We'll talk you through that later. Death just seems to be a part of African life, whether it's because we're related to a mission hospital there, but HIV, malaria, all sorts of things going on. Almost every day you can be at a funeral, and it's a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. I won't take time with the animals, time is out, but they're there around you, snakes, crocodiles, army ants, whatever it may be. Chameleons, by the way, are not poisonous. The locals think they are poisonous. They are weird because they change color and almost immediately. Their eyes look this way and this way. They have these weird kind of claw things they hang on to you with, but they're not poisonous. But if you want to clear a gathering, you take a chameleon because everyone is superstitious of a chameleon. White ants, I'd love to tell you about that. We look at things in this life and we don't look. There's incredible complexity in just an anthill, but we don't even see it. Typical rural village and areas in which we move, great opportunities to share the word of God. You'll be struck, why do these ladies carry things on their heads? Well, it frees you up to carry things with your hands. But they suffer for it at the end of their lives. What is the staple food? It's in Shima and Lunda, or Shima in the valley. It's typically cassava, manioc. You take the root and then you soak it to leach out something, cyanide, and then you dry it, cut it into chips, pound it into flour, and then you mix it together and you get your nice little finger food, whether you're a child or whether you're an old person. Twice a day, that is normally your diet. Beautiful sunsets, and I always marvel at those, but wow, in the rainy season, can it rain? And that's typically October, November time through to April. It transforms the landscape and will transform your garden at the same time. Crossing a pontoon, all sorts of variety. First time you've ever had to do that in life. You get on a pontoon and you hope you get the other side. Elephants have right of way. Nice to carry a chainsaw because you never know when you're going to find a tree that's down at night. Good to have children to help change the flat tire. Or even better when you get stuck in mud. I was just like, Africa? This isn't Africa. Yes, this is Africa in the rainy season. Everything is transformed. You may be driving something like this for hours in this rain, and hopefully you will get there. Even four-wheel drive is not enough. This is an ambulance going normally 3 hours north to a clinic, but they spent the night because of this, you can imagine. So lots of vehicle maintenance in our workshop. My background is engineering, more electrical, electronic, but you have to get into everything. Praise God for Ioana, a Zambian person. I'll tell you more about him. He's been a real help in the workshop. Others we've been blessed to train, because Zambia is really a partnership, partnering with the local people. A couple of times a year we get supplies from overseas, typically medicines, but other food items, clothing, so it's always a time of rejoicing. We're blessed to have an airstrip in 2007, just a total bush that was transformed into an airstrip, and it's been a lifesaver for a number of people. The type of variety, just to try and throw things out for you, how many days in the week do you have a tanker turn up at your back door to offload gas? You have it in Zambia, diesel. Probably about 4 or 5 times a year it comes in and drops 1,700 gallons. So that's all the fun area of life. All the way through to making up little playhouses for nursery school. Joy is involved in a lot of entertaining all the time. I can guarantee if you ever come to our house, you'll get a good meal. It may be inside, it may be outside. There's always lots of variety for that. One of the trophies of grace on the left is Marion Ronald, if you've ever heard of her. She's an MSc, missionary commended from Canada. 55 years in Africa, been the main rock of the hospital through that time, with her cousin Daisy. They're like grandmothers to our kids. She's struggling now with her eyesight and with her hearing, and carer typically goes in and reads to her. David has fun on all sorts of projects, making charcoal. You can talk to him. Daniel and David are good with chainsaws, teamwork, working together, making construction. We have some dogs, and that's probably the hardest thing for Kara. Only two of them are ours, the two black ones. The other one is a puppy, fully grown. Making little boats on the river, taking things apart in the workshop. Africa is full of variety. If you're a young person, it's a great life. Just lastly, in terms of the family, we were married 21 years in 2020. So we had a wonderful trip to the Victoria Falls, our first time together as a family. It was COVID time, but it was just the right time because there was nobody there. So we had a wonderful time. Just some of the ministry opportunities, very quickly, children's work, Campbell Boarding School, Camp and Conference Center, outreach, church teaching, radio ministry, medical work, and Village for the Elderly. Take your pick. I don't expect you to remember everything. Just get one or two points, and I trust it will be a blessing and a help for you. Children's work, if you love children, there's so many opportunities. Africa is not what you're going to do, it's what you're not going to do. So we have Sunday school, 7:30. It's been on hold due to COVID, started again and just on hold again. But you can divide 300 kids, 400 kids into about 18 classes and have a wonderful time with them. We have a preschool or kindergarten, you call it here. Two classes each morning from Monday to Friday. Just a great way to get the gospel into these young people's lives, and it's run by two Zambian ladies. Children's clubs, the children get involved in during the week. Again, great opportunity. Bible studies, joy every Tuesday afternoon with the young ladies in the area. Just endless opportunities to reach out with the Word of God. One huge blessing, please, if you can remember Campbell Boarding School and Miracle of Grace. This is a public school being run by a board of Assembly Christians, partnering with the government. We're allowed to select the teachers who are paid by the government. We have a boarding capacity of 350 pupils, and it's been running for over 7 years. Wonderful opportunity. Getting there is a challenge. You think we're remote? We take you 3 hours into the bush to get to this place. And suddenly, wow, 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 wow. Here in the midst of the African bush is this wonderful construction. Well-built modern facility, administration block that you see here, classrooms, boarding areas, kitchen, and 20 teachers' houses, all built to an incredible standard. Praise God for these two people. The one on the left has just retired, but they've been the principal, vice principal during that time. Done a great job. And because of their input and God's blessing, Kayombo was recognized by the government as a school of excellence just a couple of years ago. Praise God for that. And our whole foundation has always been, be still and know that I am God.
some of the teachers, spouses, staff, etc. The auditorium, where devotions every morning are held. Can you imagine? Start of the day, bring them all together and share the word of God with them. Saturday morning, they have a gospel meeting. Sunday morning, they all come to the local assembly. So you need to stretch the walls here a little bit to get them all in. You imagine walking in, 350 children waiting, let alone those who are in fellowship in the assembly. Great opportunity. Some of the science labs, we're blessed to fit a solar power system just a year or so ago, which has been a huge blessing for the school there. Just remember this in your prayers. 7 years of operation. Lives who've been touched by the gospel. And we trust God will use them in their futures to be a blessing in that nation. Summer Thunder, very quickly, a camp conference center affected by COVID. We hope it will start in 2022 again. We're normally able to have 6 or 7 children's camps through the year. That means taking from grade 7 to grade 12, different times, 150, 200 children, maybe boys, maybe girls. Just a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with them. We also have another session, a college camp, for those who graduated from grade 12, maybe in college, still want to come back. And again, a great time to teach them the word of God. Free time for sports, collecting firewood, etc. Then typically that same center is used for different Bible studies through the year, maybe specifically for elders, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, or just a general Bible study week. Wonderful opportunity to lay a good foundation in the Word of God. One of the things that's my passion there is the outreach work. Zambia is open. Once you know a local language, you're free. Just go wherever you want. People will listen. Share the gospel with them. Wonderful opportunity. Sad thing is, many false churches in the nation. An open door is open for everything. So the key thing with outreach is people are willing to discuss. And you can have a one-on-one conversation with so many people. I'll show you shortly. We've often used the Two Roads, Two Destinies charts in the local language, which really open people's understanding. Some of the faithful brothers we've been working with for many years, committed to that work. And one of the joys is, in my absence, it's still happening, which is a wonderful thing. Monday afternoon, you go from village to village, sharing the good news of Christ, and typically this is a chart in London that we would use. Very clear, two roads, two destinies. Death is not the end, this is eternity, and the cross is the answer to everything. Children always love literature. Then several times a year we get away with brothers like this, go 3 or 4 hours drive, 8 hours drive to a totally different area, be there for 5 days and just share the gospel in that area. One wonderful freedom, early morning devotion, then later in the morning, afternoon, evening, you'll get people just like this coming to listen for an hour to the message of the gospel, questions, answers, all sorts of, how can you not share? Church teaching. There's a big need for that because illiteracy is a problem in studying the Word of God. So when you cannot read, you believe whatever you hear. So there's a huge need just to be out teaching the Word of God on most Sundays with a team of other young men. We visit 50 or so assemblies throughout the year in a radius of 2 hours drive. All sorts of conference opportunities. Where we're based at Loloma, these are the elders in the assembly, a well-established assembly. We're thankful for them, work closely with them. We're there in the week, typically, Wednesday, Bible study time, Friday prayer meeting time, at Sunday, we'll be visiting elsewhere. So typically a company like this, or a company like this, sharing the Word of God. How it sets up, you get as many people in the car as you can. You drive on one route, you drop two at the first assembly, go a bit further to the next assembly, drive a bit further, the last two at that assembly. So you try and cover and encourage as much as you can. All sorts of conference opportunities, maybe inside, maybe under the trees. Kind of strange experience first, meeting under the trees, but it's wonderful to get the Word of God out. And again, not always, we've gone through all sorts of things, but this study has been key. It's just opened the eyes of people who spend days on this. And they suddenly realize where they are, because there's a lot of false profession in so many churches there. And I could go into all sorts of stories, but I better not. Radio ministry, again, the opportunities are there. A year or so ago, I was approached to say, We now have a community radio. Can you come and preach the gospel every Thursday afternoon? How can you say no? No, there's hundreds of people listening into this station. It's like, wow, it reaches people in a radius of 30, 40 kilometers. And at the end of each session, you have people calling in, oh, thank you so much, comments, all this sort of thing. It's just a wonderful opportunity. Again, two brethren are continuing that ministry. Pray for them. It's a great opportunity. Mission Hospital, close to our heart. Proof of God's faithfulness for 65 years. A huge opportunity for the gospel. Our acceptance in the villages is really based upon the medical work. It's all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And that is important to get that together. Serves a community of over 60,000 people, although some come from Angola or outside areas. They tend to bypass the government facility. There's no medicines. The standard of treatment isn't very good. Praise God at our mission hospital. People care, and they take an interest in you. Again, partnering with the government, most staff are employed by the government. There are some exceptions, but that's typically it. I'd love to talk you through this whole team, just how God has put it together. This has been a trophy of His grace. It's hard to step back. We'll explain that shortly. But these people, they're committed. They're capable. They can run that facility. How many hospitals around here do you go in and have a devotion with the staff Monday morning, Friday morning? No. That's how you start the day in Africa. That's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And if that's not enough, then you preach the gospel on a PA system to everyone in the hospital wards, morning and evening. It's just a free opportunity. And how would you not take it? Praise God for that. People say, why so many people in Zambia? You're asking the wrong person, that's God's work, not mine, but it's an open door. And trying to push it down people's throats who don't want to hear is very different to people who want to listen. Again, we rely on medical mission news. I'm not going into details. They ship out for us. We order 2-3 times a year, and they ship key medicines to us, and then we top up from local medicine in Zambia. If you want to know more details, I'll explain why we do that later. Has a bed capacity of 120 beds. A very busy outpatient department every day. Mentioned the ambulance. Praise God for that. Recently added, by the grace of God, a new operating theatre, new kitchen. It's a miracle every year. It's like God is in this, God is at work. Always people wanting to see the doctor, although they do better there than here. You have to like book up weeks in advance, they just go along and look and you see a doctor. Triplets, how we go into that, that's amazing. Noah's Ark, recall our little infant section where the children are taken care of, mostly malaria. Other related illnesses like that. Mango season at the moment, broken bones, because people, children climb the trees, fall out, and there they are in Noah's Ark. The great thing is, any time you can enter and talk. And we have some wonderful discussions. Typically every other Monday afternoon, we're in the hospital wards, sharing with people. And you get into all sorts of issues, speaking one-on-one with these people. Praise God for how He's working. You've probably heard of Chibuma Mission Hospital, Totokolope Mission Hospital, Nambalima, Pelani, Dipalata, Loloma. With the grace of God, 2012, we formed a board to try and interface these hospitals together. Come on, guys, we're doing the same thing. We're going on the same level here. And sometimes this mission is apologies, but it's good to work together, and this has been a blessing. Let me finish with the Village for the Elderly. Started over 25 years ago. A refuge for those who are either accused of witchcraft. I can't go into that. It's still there underneath. As a visitor, you won't see it, but I can guarantee it's there. For those who have no relatives, to look after them. So it's a very practical way to show and share the love of God for these poor old people. Over this time, we just put up very basic structures. So there's a housing complex here, 5 altogether. They each have their own little room, kitchen to cook in, and some stories, just the cast outs of society. But this lady, even though she had leprosy and she couldn't walk properly, she could sing. She was the singer. You go and visit and she'd sing you a song. Isn't it touching? I've often said to Joy, I have a feeling down, and I've got so much, I just go down to the old people of the village. And it puts it all in perspective. You know, we have so little to complain about. And they have so little, but they're so thankful. Every month, we're blessed to go down. We actually go down twice a month, take supplies to them, food supplies, a little bit of cash, soap, all that sort of thing. God is taking care of them. As you can see, one of them is a cripple. He's young, although he's actually now late 40s on the way. He's also found a safe haven there. Currently taking care of 25 people, although that's dropped to 23 just in the last month. Friendships. Zambia is about friendship. You can talk to anybody. And once you get into school, I haven't gone through that, and you have wonderful opportunities. I was blessed to teach for 20 years, joint taught at Zambezi also, and Maninga, in the school system, a religious education syllabus. We've contacted so many people, and now have so many surrogate children through those relationships. Morgan, a typical example. First met him in 1998. He's now got his degree, qualified teacher himself, grown and growing children, knows the Lord. He's a good help in the assembly, especially in the Sunday school. Charles is a trophy of grace. He just comes from a village, an outlying village. Committed to his education, he's now a hospital director. Can you believe it? Like, wow. He's got a heart for God. And we've had great times together, tutoring, counseling him. And now he's been speaking at conferences over the Christmas time. His wife is also a nurse. Ioana, I mentioned him, just had a really neat relationship with him. I still chat to him at least once a week on WhatsApp. Doing a good job. Tough background and upbringing. He now looks after the workshop and helps with the village for the elderly. But the icing on the cake, the week that we left, he was baptized and brought into fellowship. As if it was hard, David, really hard. But I was just, thank you, Lord. That's a huge blessing. Just before we step back. Mary, we could pick so many other younger ladies. Again, met her in the schoolwork. She's had a tough life, marriage, children, I won't go into that. She's widowed with four children, but now she's standing on her own feet as a teacher. Praise God, he's interested. He cannot be here. Doesn't matter if you're in Africa or America. Kathy, in Lunda, that's the younger of twins. So he's the youngest of twins. They were pretty much identical twins. They messed me up in school because I didn't realize they were twins. They had all sorts of fun with me, but eventually I sorted it out. Key thing is, he came to know Christ at one of the camps from a Catholic background. Would you believe it? He's now the head of the Department for Science at Kayombo Boarding School. This is God. We could never foresee this, and God is at work. Conclusion. Praise God. Yeah, there's tough things going on in the world, but God is at work. He could not be here. Many special opportunities in Zambia. The dedicated team of Christians that are there, helping with the outreach, the teaching, the hospital, the old people's village, etc. Praise God for them. He is building this church. Another miracle. A year before we left, we started hearing from this family in Washington State. There were all sorts of delays to their coming. We only had a month with them before we left. Pray for them. They've stepped into a huge area of need. He's on his language trail and all that sort of thing. It's a tough, tough time. They need prayer, but God is using them, and we thank God for them. Lastly, for ourselves, we're at this time of total change, a new chapter in our lives, transition. Where should we live and serve the Lord in the U.S.? Based upon Joy's mum's needs, she has dementia, she needs 24/7 care, it's likely we'll be moving to a Chicago area, but we still seek the Lord's guidance and help in that. And really our other key thing, even more important, is our children. This is a huge transition for them. They're Africans, they look American, but I can tell you they're Africans. That's their upbringing, that's who they are. So as they interface in with the education system, apprenticeship, tech school, whatever it may be for them, just want God to go before and for them to see God is in this. He cannot be hidden as we transform further back here. So thank you for your time. I'm a good African. I'm not sure what time I should have finished, but if I've run over time, thank you so much. And may God encourage and bless each one of you. This is not just Zambia.
This is everywhere. He is at work. He cannot be hidden. Before I close in prayer, should I just give 2 minutes? If I'm challenged you, I've not fully explained something. Sorry if I presented too much, but please, if you have a question, a comment, you're very welcome. And then I have a little special time with Alice later to tell me all about my wife before I got to know her. So there you go.
So how many? I was talking to your son.
Okay.
So he's finished 12. How many of them are at this point where they're going to decide college or not?
Thank you so much. So basically, David, 19, almost 20 now. Yeah. He's the key one. He's finished his grade 12. So it's just tough coming here. There's so many opportunities, so many options. What should he go for? He's a hands-on, he's a tech guy, he's an engineer, you know, whatever that's going to end up being in his life. Daniel, again, very good with his hands. He's still got a year yet. How does that work out? How does that look? Kara, 16 next month, so, wow, they're all growing.
We'll be praying for that.
Thank you so much.
And
God willing, in all of this, I still hope to visit twice a year back to Zambia just to be with and partner and encourage as much as we can. Thank you. So that's what we're assuming at the moment. It would be very strange for Daniel. It's got 1 year left, you know, so why not finish on it? And Kara, you know, her choice again is preference to homeschool. She's committed. She's got another 2-3 years, so... Please, yeah.
I've been involved in a program called Parents of Earth.
Okay.
And we are included in the Fortune 500 group. And Fortune 500 groups are looking to take for kids for homeschool.
Okay.
And involved in the Parents program.
All right. We should talk a little bit more about that, how that is. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Just a testimony.
Please.
Anybody that might not know this, just pretty sure with Bambi, you know, looking it up. The United States tried to send an ambassador to Zambia who was a blatant homosexual. They wrote a letter to him.
Don't want
it. Boy, that was a real testimony. That's
sure.
Just the news.
Yeah.
That is the news. So, I mean, not to get into all that, but. They sent a letter, and he sent them back, and I think they're still in the interim. So God must be really working in the government.
Sure.
In there.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I could go into all sorts of details where there's been this huge shift in the West and even in the whole church setup here and in the Catholic Church, the even, you know, ecumenical movement, all that sort of thing. People in Africa are saying, no, we're following this, you know. And they claim we're the third world, we're the unenlightened. So praise God for that. Yeah. He could not be hidden. No. The West is trying to hide him. Africa is saying, yeah, here he is. So. Thank you. Can I pray for you as I close? Thank you, Father, again for your great encouragement from your word. We know the battle is not ours, it's yours. And you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Christ cannot be hidden. He is the creator of this universe. He upholds all things by the word of his power. But fundamentally, his light is shining from the cross, transforming people into his image and glory day by day. Thank you, Lord. Build your church. Reach out in the power of the Spirit. Pray your blessing upon that nation of Zambia, the great opportunities that are there, and the wonderful team of people that are working in different areas in Loloma to continue your work. Encourage them, we pray. Thank you, Father, for this company of your people here at Roxburgh. Heard this morning of different needs, real tough situations. Oh, Lord, we know you have promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will guide us with your counsel and afterwards receive us into glory. O Lord, be a blessing here in this company, and may your name be blessed and uplifted because of the commitment of your people here. We commit each one to you as we now part in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much.